employment and tried all sorts of areas. He's a communication specialist in the telephonic industry. In other words, he's a telephone personnel. Before that, he was a rock and roll musician, and God, I'd rather have an out-of-work telephone company than listen to that damn rock and roll. They never really knew too much what I did. When they were growing up, I told my children I was a towel boy in a brothel, so they would have something to be proud of me for, and not knowing what I was really doing. But he decided to find out what I was doing and look into it. Now, this is a person who had never seen a racing form, who did not know how to read it, had once in his life, he went to a quarter horse race when he was 7 years old. I don't know how, it was at the Orange County Fair, and we happened to be at the fair at the time and watched it. Had no interest in handicapping, no interest in horse racing. But he did have an interest in making an income when he lost his job. And he saw that I was making money, and he saw that the people who came around were making money, and he thought maybe this would be something he'd like to do. And so he did it. When he first started, I helped him pick pace lines, and he was doing about 70%. And I drew the line and said, no more. You'd have to do it on your own from the material you've got, which he'll tell you about. And he slipped down to about 57%. Now, for the last 3 weeks, he has consistently been 60% with a mutual approaching $12, and he knows nothing. But rather than me tell you about him, let me bring him up here and tell you himself. Here's my son, Shane.
Good evening. Tell you, first day I came to Perco, I had to learn what a pace line was, for one thing. And when I heard Cajun, I thought it was a recipe program for Louisiana-style cooking, so didn't know much.
A little louder.
A little louder? First thing I did was my dad showed me how to put in the numbers from pace lines. And I didn't know what they meant then, just numbers. So I put them into the computer for him and gradually got to understand what they were all about. Then, after a while, learned how to pick them, how to use the pluses and zeros and the pluses within the zeros, and what they meant. I would use the pace lines after a while, after I got to learn how they worked and what they meant. I would pick the lines that would loom up at me, as my father says. And they do, sometimes, just loom up. I don't pay attention to the jockey, the trainer, the name of the horse, its race, its color, or its religion, for that matter. I'm not really into mastering the handicapping game. I just want to win races and make money, which is what we're all in need of. So, and I have no ego trip about it. I mean, somebody else does better than me. I'm not trying to beat anybody else. I'm just out there to try to win. I picked up some of the nuggets of knowledge from Tom Brohammer's book, The Modern Pace Handicapping. I definitely had to read the yellow manual. The first time I read it, it wasn't easy, but it came to me after a while, so it worked. Also, James Quinn's video, except for the PDQ, and Jim Bradshaw's matchup book. Best advice I ever got was from Tom Renner and Dick Schmidt, who said, listen to your father. And I didn't. That was the best advice I've ever had, I'll tell you. Now, when I do pace lines and do the races, I do not play maidens. I don't play iffy races. If I'm confused about a race at all, if there's not enough pace lines or it's a foreign horse or what have you, I will prefer to pass the race rather than take a chance on making a mistake. So I just go for the ones I have confidence in. And that's been working quite well. I always bet two horses to win. So that way, that's why I'm at 60%, and I'm going for more. And there's no reason not to keep going now. The program I'm using exclusively now is the EXTC with Thoromation. And I'm not going to switch I'll switch at all. What the heck? Use what works. And that's what I'm doing. It's best to play fewer races than it is to play all the races and take a chance on losing. I may eventually get up to 6 races out of 9. Right now I'm sticking with 4, maybe 5. So that's basically where I'm at now. And I've gotten some pretty good returns on races, so I know I'm in the right ballpark here. So, on that, this one here.
I'll tell you a little story. The first day he handicapped, he had a $108 horse and a $1,175 exact. The bad news is he didn't go to the track and bet it. He didn't want to make this presentation until he had actually had a betting record behind him. But imagine yourself in his shoes, not knowing what to say to the teller when you wanted to make a bet. So tell him when we went to the off track the first day what I had to do for it.
He had to literally write it down for me. Here's what you do. I wrote it on the program. $3 on number 3 to win. At $3 on number 5 to win. And I had to just read it off just like that. Excuse me, I need $3 on number 3 to win. And $3 on number 5 to win. And the guy's looking at me. Okay.
Huh?
This is correct.
The teller said you must be Howard's son.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that was a pretty good day, though. We got the first race.
His whole entire procedure and ask him any questions you want. Is anybody going to ask him how in the heck he got Softscape?
He's ready for you. Ask him, how the heck you get Softscape?
Well, the pace line just loomed up at me. And that's the ones I pick. Those loomers.
He had the 80s plus 10 over, anything over 10.
Okay, does everybody understand that? I hear all the people who understand it. How about those who don't understand why he took a horse beaten 9 lengths? As far as our programs are concerned, a horse is beaten 9 lengths. That's right. Anybody not get that? This is the most vital fact that you can get, and it's something that he learned overnight to look at.
What?
The Softscape. Beaten 9. How many of you are going to put Softscape in the computer to start with?
80 anything over 10.
Okay, how many of you would not? Well, you're not so bright as I thought you were. Jeez. Everybody could do it.
It's so obvious.
One question.
Oh, it's so obvious. I've done the horse tank and all that stuff.
Because there weren't any
Perkle
members there.
You wanted to try that Lifesian on for size in there. But if you look at a 4-year-old horse having to have a gait workout, there's something deadly wrong with that horse.
He doesn't look at the age.
No, but you could tell him. But he refused to break twice. And now
why he left him out.
Yeah, they give him a gait workout. You don't worry about him.
You all understand this?
No.
Okay. Somebody tell me what you don't understand so he can answer the question.
Well,
Yes, sir. I'll answer it back quickly. What's your quote? Why do you use a third race back on one of these horses? What, on which horse?
Rash.
It's written down here why you used it, but tell them why you used the third race back on Rash Decision. He had a better reason than I had.
Well, the reason I used that, in the last line, it was a bad race at Santa Anita. The next to last was a Fairplex line, and it was also a bad race. I didn't like the speed ratings, so I couldn't make an excuse for them. Now, on the third line down, on a 90 line, the reason I used it was the similarities from that day's race to, it was a Hollywood, which is the same as it was then. It was the same distance, and the speed rating was excellent. And it was just, there was so many similarities. I could tell that the horse doesn't really like Santa Anita. And Fairplex, I didn't choose to use that. And I noticed that the horse runs well at Hollywood.
Now, I asked him that question in the car going to Indio. He said, this horse has got, I think he was 20 to 1 in the morning. I said, why did you go back to a race in 1990? And his question was, because every race except for the last two, it was either a plus or a plus with an O. And he liked Hollywood. All right, that doesn't meet the logic of horse players, but it's the logic he's been using to get high-priced horses at 60%, and I'm not going to correct him on it. That's what the point we're trying to make is that this is an individual intuition. The horse liked Hollywood Park, and he had all plus lines before those last two, or plus within an O. Now, you don't have to agree with this. But this is how you get long shots.
You don't have his ATB written here, but it looks like it's about a 400 or 500% ATB.
Yeah, he wrote them down somewhere.
Yeah, I think it was over to the side a little further.
It's over here. It just got.
It got cut off.
Why? Doesn't that horse look like it's going?
Huh?
What was that?
Doesn't that horse look like it's going out? I mean,
let me speak the question. This gentleman here, and I'm not going to single him out, he's saying, doesn't it look like that horse is going out of form? Some people look at the racing form and see a race and all the things that it can go well with it. Others look and say, look at all the things that can go bad with it. He just chose to see what the best he could get out of it, whereas the man who's asking the question is looking to see what could be wrong with it. And this is we're trying to impart with you the spirit, because he doesn't, you see that the beauty that Howard has here, he doesn't know any of this stuff, any of these negatives. What was the other question from back there, Jimmy?
Why did you go back to the third one on Barrages?
Tell him about what you told me when I said, why did you use that line?
This line here?
Well, any line. What do you say?
Because it loomed up at me, stared me in the face and says, pick me. And that's what I did.
And that's why his pace line thinking is very erratic. Four back on one, last race on another one. He is taking what it says in the yellow manual to study patterns and pick the line that looms up at you. And by God, he's doing 60%. He's been doing it consistently for almost a month now, so I'm not going to question him.
Howard.
Yes, sir.
By random, do you have a check to see that any of the lines could have been the same? Does it really matter?
Oh, we've got one race like that, which I want to point out in a minute.
It didn't matter if you went back to the horses for horses or anything else.
Right. There are a lot of positive things. I want to hear some positive things. Why that's the way to do it, as opposed to, yeah, but what if, or can you do that? I mean, these negative things that we bring up out here are not going to faze him. I'm not going to change him. He's got a pattern, and he recognizes pattern, and I like, you know, I'm helping him to convey them, because he's never answered questions about horse racing because he doesn't know anything about handicapping. Yes, sir.
The horse had every reason to go back. He's three times, the third off of his rest, with two workouts after he got bumped. The bumping is not Don't blame the horse when you get.
Okay, here's a man who sees a reason for it. Without going into the details, don't tell him all this stuff because I don't want him to be. I don't want you to know anything about handicap. Yes, sir. Okay, let me tell you how he picked Softscape. It's written out here for explanation. Softscape has who's the logical choice in this race? A horse with a 78 speed rating, right? No, who looks like the favorite? What's the favorite speed rating?
Kelly tops 83, so he's got to have 80s in this.
Look at the pace of the race that Softscape ran against. Look at the final fraction against which it was beaten 9 lengths. 31.96. He ran a 31.48. What's the closest to him? The horse that placed with 31.20. And that horse won its race, didn't it? Glory came close to winning.
Where was that placed?
Glory was beaten 3 lengths. Look at Gab, who won its race. 30.03, third fraction, pace of the race it ran against. It ran a 30.35. The horse beaten 9 lengths ran a 31.48. These are the things I'm trying to get you to look at. These are the things that are non-conventional, non-linear, non-mainstream. This horse ran against the fastest pace of any horse in this race by far. Even beaten 9 lengths, it shows a 31.48 percentage of its energy in the third fraction. Now, do you see? Yes, sir.
What about this Gab and Gloria? How can you go back 6 and the only race that they won?
Pace line loomed up, and that's what he says. Now, that horse did not figure in this race, but there will be races that he'll do that with that horse will win.
We could throw that out to the.
I mean, the point is, let me. I want to make, because he's going to just tell you innocently and openly that that loomed up at him and he decided to use it. Maybe he didn't have a good logical horse player reason, but I'm trying to tell you some of these good logical horse player reasons are just as invalid and as some of the reasons you can put for going to that. Fortunately, Gabbing Glory didn't do anything in the race. It didn't bother what line he used.
In the words of Jimmy Butler, who's not here, can be those 80s and 10s.
The horse qualified on the speed rating. The horse qualified on the pace of the race, pace of the horse. The horse is a standout, but it's hidden by 9 beaten lengths. Just keep looking at this. Bruce?
Howard, on both these horses, if people have questions about it, they want a real logical reason. You look at Softscape and you look at Race Decision, you look at the lifetime earnings, and they both dominate the races they're in.
True, the APV, earnings per start. But you got to remember, Softscape had great races before those two bad ones.
Here's a question.
Oh, this gentleman back here?
Yeah.
He was pointing out that their earnings of the horse plus the place horse were outstanding over the others. And if you start with APV, that would make you suspicious of throwing the horse out right away. But the point is that he used a 9 beaten length line and won the race. And then look at the thoroughmation picture on it. Soft comes out first. Glory comes out first on the counter energy. That's your place horse. Soft and Glory come out number 1 and 2 on the sustained pace. What we're trying to do by giving you an innocent, untested, someone who doesn't want to be a handicapper, just a picker of winners, is to, if you will take the same naive, open approach, as opposed to having these yeah buts, all these negative questions. Tell me that if you look at a race with the same negative perspective, some of these questions reflected, you're never going to get these kinds of horses. You've got to change your perspective. And I'm tying this in with Richard Werpy's speech. Ask him something on the... We got that race. Ask him about the ninth race.
What about the about the profile for Hollywood Park? Was this the first day?
The kid doesn't know anything about the profile of Hollywood Park. It's the second day. Is there a profile?
I know only the simplest of simple about this. And that's the way I keep it. And the less confusion I have, the better I'll do. I may not remember why I picked the line at sometimes, other than looming up. But it's at the time I'm doing the races and picking the lines, that's how I feel at the time. If it was the day before, I might have chosen something different. Maybe not. But that's how I felt, and that's why I picked them. And that's how it came out, and it worked out for me. So, anything you do ask, keep it simple.